Hello, I'm David Morgan. I'm a candidate for District 2 for Sarasota City Commission. I'm a native Floridian. I have four generations of my family actually living here in Sarasota. I'm the chairman of the Sarasota Housing Authority. I'm a small business owner. I do work with work with housing authorities and HUD programs. Chairman of the Housing Authority here. Vice President of the Arlington Park Neighborhood Association, where I'm also a representative for the Bayfront 2020. I'm a board member for the Florida Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials and a member of Kiwanis. I've gotten to work on a lot of workforce and affordable housing issues during my career, and it includes homeless programs. And I just felt like these two areas are something that the city needs to seriously address, and hopefully my professional experience can bring a positive perspective and to implement some of these, implement some policies to address these issues.
Those are the two areas you're talking about, affordable housing and homelessness?
Those are the two. Just at the Housing Authority, I've been able, we're a high-performing agency now. We're actually a model agency around the country. We were the Florida, what was it, last year or the year before, we were the Florida, the FARO Florida Association. We were the agency of the year by our peers. And taking some of the practices and what we've done there and being able to, even just through my business, be able to implement some of these things. So, like I said, I know I'm a younger person, and I know a lot of young people, they go, I would love to live in the city, but I can't afford to live in the city. And, and then we'll hear a lot of people go, oh, I wish we could keep our, young professionals here. And it, we have to give them a job. We have to give them a place to stay. We have to have good schools. And I think we have to, not just talk about it, but seriously address it.
So what does your business do working with HUD and working with different housing authorities?
I know we were talking before. We do a lot of different stuff. We've, we got to do some Katrina disaster relief. That was really where I got started. But we do training. We write policies. We do agency audits. I'm getting ready to write some. I'm actually working on some strategic plans, and we do this all over the country. So it's not just here. I've been to like 46 states now, working on this. But and it goes through all their programs. So it could be, some of their like tax credit programs, the public housing, the Section 8, and even just how to explore using funds in their nonprofits to expand their affordable housing stock.
So your work, you focus more on the financial aspects of these issues?
I think, I as I go to these forums and I try to tell people, the budget's going to drive everything that we do. Everything. I mean, when we talk about our parks, when we talk about parking or transportation, housing, police, I mean, all these things is, we have to have money to do these things. And, we seriously need to look at the budget. We need to seriously look at how we're spending our money, spend it wisely. And, I look at places like the Rosemary, and that's a place where we can look at some quality development. In my neighborhood over in Arlington Park, we have the Cabana, and there's some good ideas, and we can increase the tax base, diversify the tax base, and I think we can address a lot of these budget issues.
When you say cutting and spending wisely, what does that mean for you?
I look at a lot of properties that. So this was actually kind of a fun one. 1350 Main, and I know a lot of people are pretty familiar over by the Whole Foods. That property it was actually a unique building, and it was built on something that was called the DROD, which was the Downtown Residential Overlay District, and it increased the density there, and it actually has a little bit of height increase. It's a mixed use, and that single property per acre generates more property tax revenue than anywhere in the county, anywhere. And part of the considerations was there's essentially a $3 million check that was written into, and it was split 50-50 between transportation and affordable housing. You know, so when I look at some of these downtown projects, it's, you know, finding out some of the best use of these properties, finding out, you know, our best use in developing these properties. Mm-hmm. And I think when we do that, we're going to increase the tax base, diversify the tax base, and, you know, now we have funds to really explore some workforce and affordable housing here in Sarasota.
And as far as affordable housing in Sarasota, what should that look like in terms of the area? What makes sense here?
Well, so this is a lot of people debate what is affordable, and HUD actually comes out with it's about every year, every 2 years, and they come out with an actual report of your area. So ours is Sarasota, Bradenton, and they'll break down, you know, a studio apartment should cost X, you know, a one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom. I mean, they have and they take into account, you know, utilities, cost of living, just all these things, and they come up with a number. And I think what we need to do is, you know, really sit down and look at these numbers, and work our way back and go, all right, this is what is affordable, and then how can we actually make, you know, actually workforce affordable housing? You know, it was funny, we were downtown and I was doing a forum there, and they were like, oh, the parking, and I feel like workers are taking our parking spots. And I go, well, yeah, because they have to drive into downtown and they have to park and they have to work. And, you know, they can't just walk out of their house and walk down and work at one of these places. So, you know, realistically, they might be taking these parking places, but they have to because they have to go to work. You know, and I know a lot of people, if we did have, you know, some walkability, bikeability, and when I had moved to New York, one of my favorite things was getting rid of my car keys, and I was like, all right, want a subway, walk it, you know, bike it, like wherever, but I do not have to drive.
Yeah. Is that something that you see as feasible for Sarasota, increasing the access and times of public transportation available to people?
I do think it's feasible. And, you know, just in my neighborhood, so there's the Legacy Trail, which is the huge bike trail, and we can connect that through Sarasota and just, you know, like over in my neighborhood, and, you know, then you have spokes, you have these buffered bike lanes, so people aren't riding their bike in traffic, but, you know, there's really their own bike lane. And, you know, so when we talk about going back to those quality developments, you know, this is how we're going to be able to fund having some of these projects. Because I mean, if I could ride my bike downtown, I wouldn't mind cruising down there, you know, 10, 15 minutes and don't have to worry about riding down 41 or, you know, through some heavy traffic. So I think we can do it, you know, and one of the things is, even within the city, we got to remember, we have to have county support. And I know, one of the things I've been, you know, as part of my platform is really the city-county relationships. They've been fractured, and it's something that really needs to be addressed. You know, there are colleagues in the county, and, you know, without having some of the county support, so with our transportation issues, with even some of the, some of these projects like the Bayfront 2020, you know, we're not going to have funding for it. And, you know, it's sometimes it's as simple as calling them up. You know, they've all been pretty accessible to me. I've reached out to all of our county commissioners. I've sat down with three. I'm getting ready to sit down with the other two. And, you know, I when I think like collaboration, it's really sitting down and talking. I mean, we can disagree on something, but, and that's fine, but we can be professional and move on.
Where do you understand the disjunct to be between city and county, and how can that be addressed?
You know, it's, I think there was a difference in philosophy and historically. I know, and I laugh, it's such a small, simple thing. There's that little piece of property over by Payne Park and kind of over by the courthouse and so there's this little piece of property, and the city was, 10 years ago, they made an MOU to let the county use that for county business, to possibly develop, expand their offices, et cetera. So the city basically said, no, we're not going to give it to you. And they've roped it off, and it's they're roped off. And, I mean, they could do just something as simple as put some parking there so when people are going to the courthouse and places, and make it handicap parking so it's more accessible. And to me, I mean, and the fact that they won't even do that, you know, you can understand why the county commissioners get really upset and frustrated, and trying to do work with the city, they get really upset and frustrated. So, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there was the Community Redevelopment Agency, and it's brought a lot of money and redevelopment into the city. Well, I mean, there was recommendations so that this county money that's paid into that too. And, you know, the county wants to say, and, you know, where there's money's going. And it seemed like the city didn't want to give any of that control up. So the county goes, well, if we don't have a say, you know, we don't want to be a part of it. And they didn't like the way it was being managed. There was a number of things. But, you know, it's if the county commission and our commissioners have a concern, it's sitting down and creating a partnership and collaborate with them to address some of these issues. So like, you know, the homeless, and I know they talked about a homeless shelter in the county, and they go, that's fine. If you don't want one, give us an alternative plan. But don't just say no to everything. And you can't say no to everything. I mean, you know, if you say no to everything, eventually you're going to get the something you don't want, you know, whether it be development or a program or whichever. So
it sounds like it's primarily a struggle over power or authority over deciding what will happen.
I think there's that part of it. You know, I think there is, I think maybe there is that little bit of a struggle for, but you know, if say the CRA, so if you don't work with the county, then it goes away and you can have a complete power over nothing, or you can give up a little bit and we have potentially had a CRA. But, you know, as the way I see it now, that's at the very best that's on life support, if not completely dead. And that's really going to hurt the city. You know, that funds a number of our parks. It funds a number, you know, helps fund our police. And, you know, this goes away. And then all of a sudden, as the city, we have to figure out how we're going to make up for that funding. And, you know, it'll probably wind up resulting in a tax increase where we could have just called our county commission and had a nice long conversation with them and see what we can do to address some of their issues and do it professionally.
I wanted to return to affordable housing initiatives. And I was wondering if you thought that the best ideas that are suited to this area would be in the form of new projects, like creating new efficiency housing, or in the form of controlling the rent that we have on pre-existing properties and pre-existing neighborhoods?
I don't think I don't think we need to do like rent control or something like New York. Okay. You know, I think it is looking at some of these projects. Like I said, I mean, we're, you know, just like I said, driving down the Rosemary and you see all these, what I call almost a blank slate. And I think we can look at, you know, how can we put, you know, nice units? How can we put, you know, quality housing and make it, like I said, affordable for, you know, our workers here in the city? You know, while I enjoy seeing, you know, these beautiful high rises, the reality is, you know, not everybody can afford $5-6 million, you know, condo downtown or throughout the city. So, and I think, you know, when we start looking at and exploring these projects, we're now going to have, you know, a little bit more of a diverse tax base. We're going to put properties back on the tax rolls, and it's going to be able to address some of those budget issues. But no, it's you know, like I said, the HUD comes out with a report. It's looking at that, and you know, let's start looking at a few of these places. And you know, if we have to increase some of the height, if we have to increase some of the density, you know, it might be. And if that's the only way we can make it work, then that's what we need to do.
So in addition to the Bayfront 2020 plan, you see Rosemary District as a central location for a lot of economic redevelopment to happen in Sarasota?
Absolutely. I, you know, it's a, I laugh. I mean, we're over next to Darwin's and the Blue Rooster. And yeah. I mean, I love being able to go to both of those places, and I can listen to music and I can relax, and and they have good food. And, you know, I look at the Bayfront 2020 and I go, what if we, you know, made this a really kind of a lively area where we had music, we had these nice restaurants where, you know, professionals could live and work, you know, and connect that to our Bayfront, you know, have connectivity so the people that are living here, they can walk over. I mean, the water's not that far away, and walk over and enjoy. I mean, the reason why I love Florida and I love living here, and, you know, besides fishing, is, you know, I can go and, you know, see the beautiful Gulf. I can see the bay. I can, I mean, I think that's one reason why people move to places like Sarasota, is to enjoy the water and, yeah, set that connectivity up so we have the Rosemary. I mean, it's, like I said, to me, this is the, as long as I've been here, it's, everybody goes, they're always waiting to break out, you know, but something has to happen there. And, you know, let's make it happen. Let's try to make it financially feasible and, you know, stimulate this section of the city. And there's a lot of different places. I mean, there's still a lot of places in the city that we can work on, but, I think with our proximity right here to downtown, this really is a prime spot here.
And that's probably a good segue into the second issue that you brought up, which is houselessness. And how do we, you know, redevelop Rosemary without having that be contingent upon forcing people who are living here currently out?
Well, you know, so what we've done at the Housing Authority, so my experience is housing, so, you know, I'll never tell somebody I'm a social worker or I'm a mental health person. That's not my wheelhouse. You know, so at the Housing Authority, we've created partnerships and we focus on the housing part. So a couple years ago, this is one of my, when I first came onto the board, I recognized, I go, we really have a homeless issue here in Sarasota, and it's not being addressed. It's not being addressed properly. So I had actually been able to work. It was in Avon Park Housing Authority, Larry Schumann, and I'd worked on, helped write some of their policies for their housing first and what they were doing. So I called him up and I said, hey, Larry, would you mind, you know, coming and presenting to my board and showing what you've done? And his program was a little different, but we took his principles and we adopted them. And we've done our pilot. We now have 15 homeless families in, that we've transitioned out. And then we also, they're called the VASH vouchers. They're for the chronically homeless veterans. So we've been competitive when we've gotten, I want to say 135. But, you know, and this is a partnership with the VA, and we've now been able to, you know, take a number of these homeless veterans off the street, and they're in housing throughout, you know, Sarasota, Manatee. And, you know, one of them is, this was actually really cool. So we have a home ownership program, and one of these homeless veterans has actually transitioned through, and they're going to become a homeowner. And those are like the, when you talk about success stories, like those are awesome. And so, you know, the one thing I've been telling people, I go, you know, Congress, they're getting ready to allocate another, potentially up to $300 million in, they're called continuum of care grants. And these grants, they can go towards things like mental health, like substance abuse, housing first. You know, you have to have a plan, but you have to be competitive. It's going to be really, really competitive. And if we don't have a plan and we're not supporting these proven agencies like Viper, Harvest House, you know, even our SPD and the Sarasota Housing Authority, you know, we might not be competitive for this money. And this could really be a lot of, this could really help the situation. This could really help get some people off the streets, into housing, into a stable household. You know, they're getting ready to allocate more on the VASH vouchers, the veteran vouchers. And, you know, here's another one where, you know, this is the money we can bring in, and we take people off the street, they're into housing, and then we can go and partner with, you know, places like, you know, the YMCA, who is one of our heart partners at the Housing Authority, and really help some of these families. I mean, you know, what's the number one thing that you know, makes you homeless is not having a home, and when you have a place to stay, you know, that's step one. Because I think, like I said, this it's the area I know. It's the area that I have the most comfort and, you know, expertise, I guess. So I think we can do this. And, you know, this is a great program. We did we have our nonprofit at the Housing Authority, and we've been able to generate some revenue through our nonprofit. We actually, and this was in the Herald Tribune like 3 months ago. And we bought this home. It was a blighted home out in Newtown. We renovated this house and we got a family in it. And we partnered with one of our local churches. We had a church come in, and they're actually providing the rent. We're providing the home. And we got a single mother of two kids, you know, off the street and into a home. Kids, you know, get to go to school. It's right around the corner. And now, you know, that's just one. But now we can grow that into two and three and four and five. And so not only getting, you know, families off the street, we're actually able to take some of these blighted, you know, these blighted single family homes and turn them into, you know, a productive and a nice place for people to live here and in the city.
Now, could that happen on a larger scale?
Sure. And it goes back to, do you have the money to do it? And that's why, you know, we're talking about the COC grants, the continuum care grants. And yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing with the Housing Authority. So whenever we have an opportunity, we, you know, try to seize that opportunity. And, you know, you have to be sometimes kind of think outside the box, be flexible in your thinking. We can do it. I mean, I don't think there's a silver bullet. There's a cure all to homelessness. I've been to a number of cities and communities, and they've been able to kind of mitigate it. But Portland, Oregon, one of my favorite cities, and they put a ton of money into the homeless issue. And, I mean, they still have a lot of homeless there. So it's and it is tough. It is it's a tough issue. It's a complicated issue. And there's a lot of, you know, like I said, we're talking about sometimes bad luck, mental health, substance abuse. You know, there's a number of different things. And one of the cool ones, you know, just through the state, Nancy Dietert, she'd worked on a bill, and it was for the kids aging out of foster care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these kids, wouldn't have a high school. They weren't even graduated. They turned 18, and it's like, well, okay, I don't have the money for you anymore. You're out of here. And most of these kids, I mean, I can't remember the number, but I want to say it was over 90% that when they were kicked out, they stayed homeless. And to me, I mean, I was glad they saw that as a low-hanging fruit of, you know, let's change that policy. Let's you know, make sure these kids can at least graduate, and let's find some housing for them, and let's make sure they don't start their life homeless.
And is there anything you wanted to touch on that we hadn't had a chance to yet?
I've been moving the elections to November. That's been one of the things it costs us money. It costs us, you know, between $120,000 and $130,000 each time. Sure. So if we, you know, did it during the normal election cycle, we're talking about, it doesn't cost our city taxpayers money, but because we have this off election, you know, the supervisor of election says, well, for you're going to do it that way, you know, it's you guys have to foot the bill on this. And, you know, we're talking about 16% voter turnout. The voter turnout, I mean, I've been going door to door, and people go, there's an election going on. I've called people that had absentee ballots, and they thought it was a survey. I mean, literally. So they're like, oh, I just thought this was a survey, you know. And I mean, some people going, it's kind of early for you to be out campaigning, and I mean, they go, we just voted, you know, what's going on? I've heard this stuff where, you know, people aren't here. I mean, I'm here year round. You know, we have absentee ballots. We have, you know, by mail. I mean, there's ways that people can vote in November. I mean, and actually Sarasota has a pretty, I want to say at our lowest, we're like somewhere around like 58%, which is pretty good. And I think our highest, we were over 70, like 76. I mean, so people are really turning, I mean, our citizens turn out in November, but they just don't know about this, you know, this November election cycle. And I think it's something, I mean, to me, you know, I know $130,000 doesn't seem like a ton of money compared to, you know, almost the $200 million budget. But, you know, that's, you know, one or two cops. You know, that's funding for our parks. There's, We've been trying to get a bridge in Arlington Park. We got this dilapidated bridge that's getting ready to fall apart, and they've been, you know, it's almost 3 years now, and I'm going, well, move the election, and we now got $130,000 to, and I know there's, different budget stuff, and we might not be able to use that money, but just kind of the point being is this is real money. Here's things that we can address in the budget, and kind of that low hanging fruit to start saving some money. It just kind of makes sense to me. I'm definitely the youngest candidate, and I'm hoping to bring a fresh perspective to the city commission. And, I got myself, my young son, my wife here, Brandt's grandparents. And, I really want to tackle and address some of these issues, not just talk about them, but, let's, when we have a good plan, let's make sure it's implemented. Let's make sure we can do this, because, I feel like we've been talking about a number of these problems for, three, four, not even longer, some of these like 12 years ago. So let's do something. Let's address it. The relationships, the homeless, the SPD, I think we got to make sure we're supporting our police department. A lot of them, they weren't happy about their morale. There was the pension issue, which is going to be a huge, with the firefighters, police, and city workers. And, that's another one I tell people. I go, I'm not a pension expert. I will never tell you I'm a pension expert. And we're talking potential of, I've seen figures up to $300 million. And, that could be really terrible. And, let's get somebody in here to look at this, and let's get somebody in here to really address this.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Morgan, for stopping in today.